Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. That's all. Ooh, you're a bad, bad boy, Saucy.
What do you do?
How's my beard coming in?
I feel like you're almost screen test ready for your Musketeers audition. Like, they really needed it to be very pronounced, and now it's like we just put that tri-corner hat with the big feather on you, and I mean, I swear we're there. We're just there. You need to make this shit happen.
Thank you, Nick.
We need you to buy the hat so you can wear it.
Exactly.
What in the flying shit is going on here? Come on, Mr. Computer.
I wonder what happens if I type in Three Musketeers hat. Let's see what comes up.
You will find a Three Musketeers hat.
I mean, yeah.
I guarantee you.
You'll find it somewhere.
I will bet you money you will find one.
Oh, it's only $11 on Amazon.
That's what I'm telling Booyah. You, dude. I knew it. I knew it. You'd find one. Oh, my God.
Oh my God!
What's going on? What in the crap? All right, let's see here.
Amazon's the way that they prioritize stuff is so fucking weird.
I don't understand it. The algorithm baffles me,
dude.
Yeah, so I ordered a kitchen scale because I ordered like a ton of brewing supplies. Because I really needed a grain mill. Like, that was the biggest thing I needed, because I have tons and tons of brewing supplies here, but I ordered a grain mill, and then I just ordered a whole bunch of other supplies. Those I ordered from Northern Brewer, so that way I could start brewing beer again. But, like, one thing that I've always needed for doing my home brewing is a kitchen scale. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to pick up a kitchen scale, because I haven't had one. And I ordered it yesterday, and it shipped, like, earlier today. But I ordered like a pop filter and a windscreen for my microphone, and that was almost a month ago, and those still haven't shipped yet. Whoa. So I'm just like, but why is my kitchen scale getting shipped out like immediately? Like, I'm just like,
I think they just have, yeah, I think that just because of the whole coronavirus thing, like, they have no idea when things are going to be shipped out. They're just kind of doing it haphazardly.
Yeah, I'm probably, like, overthinking it. Like, it's probably, like, based on whatever Amazon warehouse it's in, if it's in stock, and, like, they just don't have, like, the overflow of orders of, like, more essential things. So they're just like, okay, start fulfilling Prime orders after that. Maybe it's something like that because they have it in stock at whatever warehouse, and... like, they're not, that warehouse specifically isn't, like, flooded with essential. I don't know. I'm just still surprised by it. I'm like, what?
I just made an Amazon order, and they said, like, arriving, like, May 15th or something. And I was like, that seems really late. And then I just checked right now, and it said arriving tomorrow. So
that's right. That's happened to me, like, 3 or 4 times in the past 2 weeks. Because we've been ordering so much fucking stuff.
I was about to say, like... how much stuff do you order off of Amazon?
We just ordered a power tower, which is like literally like a full workout thing that, like, you know, you like a you know, you do dips on it, you do pull-ups. It's like an actual thing that would go into a gym. And it said like May 21st when it said they had it in stock. Like, dude, just give me this shit. But then like Blu-rays that were postponed, I'm still getting. The thing that pisses me off the most, and I sent you the screenshot earlier, is that my Top Gun 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray, the new restoration, which is coming out next month, that was originally coming out next month to coincide with the release of Maverick, just got postponed to December. I'm like, God damn it.
Justin, people are dying.
They are, but that doesn't mean that I don't need to be upset about my Top Gun
Blu-ray. I want my Blu-ray.
Listen, this is a movie podcast, and I'm going to discuss movie-related items. I don't want people to think about all the other people out there that are going through nasty things, because they can watch the news for that. They don't listen to the Epic Film Guys for that.
I'm just teasing you. Just little perspective for you.
I mean, people die every day. no matter what. It's There's true. Just more people dying now.
And yet here you are complaining about not receiving a Blu-ray at the time that you want
it. That is 100% correct. That doesn't mean that I don't care about the people that are sick. I'm doing my part. I wear an N95 mask when I go to the grocery store. I social distance myself.
I wear my winter face shield to go to the store now, since now it's mandatory in New York. It's the only mask I have, and I was like, I didn't want to have to cobble together a mask out of a t-shirt, so I was just like, fine. I just randomly found that in the closet. I was like, God, do I have like anything, like a scarf or anything I could use? And I found that. So I'm just going to use that until I don't have to use anything anymore, because I can't afford to buy, like, not that I could find them anyway at this point, I'm sure, but...
No, you're not going to be able to find one.
I can't afford to buy them, even if I could find them. And, like, unless I could afford to buy a real mask, nothing else is going to do fuck all anyway. So it's like, whatever. I'm fine with it. So
anything is better than nothing. So...
At this point, I just want to get Corona and be done with it. One way or the other, just either kill me or not. Like,
yeah, but you guys are like, you're way better off, dude. The number of cases in our county, it compared to what you guys are dealing with up there, it's not even close. Not even close at all. I mean, the number here just drastically goes up every single day.
That's because it's not nearly as dense population-wise up here.
Exactly. Yep.
Plus, with totally. How swiftly Cuomo kind of locked everything down, although somebody at Walmart Johnson City tested positive for it yesterday or the day before, something like that.
Yeah, I think I saw something on the news up there, but I won't even lie to you guys. Like, I see the stuff on my Facebook feed, but as far as like watching the actual news or paying close attention to that stuff, the only stuff that I've been getting, the majority of the information I've been getting, is when Joe Rogan will have an expert on. And I'll listen to that, because that's all going to be straight information. You're not going to have to deal with any kind of bullshit in there at all. It's just going to be straight from the horse's mouth what they're thinking. And it's all the same shit anyway.
You know, so, I don't watch the news.
Yeah. I'm like, that's the last thing I want to do. Like, I think we were watching a YouTube video and somehow my television decided that it wanted me to watch an interview with Cuomo that he did the other day about it. And it just automatically started playing when I was in the kitchen. And I'm like, I don't want to hear this shit. Part of me wants to pretend like everything's okay and we're just like living a very confined lifestyle. It makes it easier that way. Saucy, I know that you just made a face at me. I know that's probably not easy for you because you're one of those newsmongers, aren't you?
No, I would not consider myself a newsmonger.
You know who he is?
Every single
time.
Where
did that come from?
It's from Django Unchained. Fucking Hendo from the movie Journey sent it to me. He's like, here, you should play this for Loy Sauce because you guys keep calling him D'Artagnan. It's the scene where the dude gets shot in the dick.
Ah, yes.
And you see his dick get shot. Thank you, Quentin Tarantino.
That very memorable scene.
Yeah. His penis. D'Artagnan, motherfucker! I'm all about it. We've got all the best ones in here. So... I'm going to drink my bubbly now. Excuse me for a moment.
Bublé? Don't you mean your bublé?
Nick, I had a couple movies that I wanted to mention. Should I save that for the main show?
The main show, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really matter because they both go out the feed. They both go out on the feed to the same audience anyway, but whatever. This is special non-movie time. This is when we talk about not movie stuff. Like, Justin always brings up wrestling and... We always talk about all sorts of different things.
For this week, so
I made like a that lasagna I made. I don't know if you guys probably saw pictures of it. I put on Facebook.
I did,
because I'm that person that takes pictures of my food and puts it on my Facebook. But oh god,
that's your thing, bro. That's your thing.
And also, your food looks very picturesque always. So
it's the best lasagna I've ever made, bar none. Scratch made sauce, scratch made noodles, which everybody should do for lasagna. I don't care. I know, like spaghetti and making other kinds of pasta, like, you need all sorts of fancy gizmos and whatnot for it. Like, you need, like, a KitchenAid mixer with, like, a pasta cutter, or even, like, a hand crank, like, pasta machine of some kind to make, like, homemade spaghetti or whatever. But literally, like, literally, like, a, what you call it? pasta sheets, like for lasagna. Like all you need is a roller, like a rolling pin. That's literally it. And it takes as much time to prepare it and roll it out and do everything as it does to just chuck lasagna noodles into boiling water. And it tastes 8,000 times better. I did it for restaurant back in the day. Like, I'd never made pasta before. And then, like, I made pasta for the first time and did it for lasagna. I will never, ever, ever buy lasagna noodles again. It's just because it's so easy to do. It takes so few ingredients, relatively speaking, and it's so, so, so good. And then it's just like an ocean of cheese and sauce in there. I don't put meat in my lasagnas, which some people consider blasphemy, but they didn't grow up eating my mother's lasagna. I did. So, yeah. You can eat Deb's lasagna for your whole life and then tell me you want to eat lasagna with meat in it. Although, you know what's not bad? Like, a good lasagna with, like, sausage in it. Like, so I would go sausage before I would go beef. Like, something like that that's going to have that kind of flavor as opposed to a beef. Anything that's not, like, ground beef in lasagna, I'm pretty bad. Put a fucking steak in a lasagna, I'd be more apt to eat it than ground beef. Can we do that? Can we get, like, thin-shaved steak as the noodles instead of actual pasta? There you go. That'd be Justin's lasagna. That, because it'd be low carb. You
get thin sliced steak in there. I'd be able to eat it. Yeah, if there was no noodles, the sauce would be the only other thing.
You know, I've made for work one time for a work party. I made lasagna dip. Basically, I just layered the ricotta cheese mixture and mozzarella cheese and sauce in a crock pot and warmed it up. Just no noodles. That's all. I just omitted the noodles and then served like little crostinis and stuff with it. Oh, man, that turned out really, really good. It was really, really nice. Although it just basically becomes lasagna soup at one point. But what that, if that doesn't sound like a bad thing to me, so I'm just like, meh.
I'd like to try your lasagna soup, Nick.
I will bring you all the lasagna soup, but then they would quarantine me. I want to go like for a long drive somewhere, but I don't know where. I got to think of a good place to go.
Somewhere scenic, man. That's what we've been doing.
I'm thinking about the Finger Lakes. I'm thinking about just taking the perfect, only problem dude. Is like I'm trying to do the running and stuff. I'm trying to get so much of the running still in, and it's still so goddamn cold here that like.
Yeah, it just snowed up there, didn't it?
It did. It snowed, and then it was like 50-some degrees the next day, so literally like within a couple hours in the morning, it was gone. And then like I went for, it was almost 5 miles. It was like 4.8, which was my longest run in many, many years, which felt great. I ran like all the way like down into like West Main Street, Endicott, like down in there, that major intersection there. You know where that Rite Aid is down there, Justin?
100%.
Yeah, I ran all the way from here down Glendale all the way to that intersection, and then I ran all the way down past where the cider mill is and all the way back home. So that felt really, really good. But the annoying thing is I didn't wear a hoodie because I was like, oh, it's going to be way too warm on me eventually if I wear the hoodie. So I didn't wear the hoodie. And I was freezing for like the first mile of that run because in the sun, like when you were in the sunlight, it was really, really warm. But if you weren't, like the wind is still so like bitingly cold that it's just like it's really, really frigid. Because that part of Glendale, like when you're running down past like the tech park there and like the government buildings, when you get up to that intersection with the 26, when you run up through there, it's really, really frigid and everything. And then it's tree cover, tree cover, tree cover. And then you finally kind of get out to where the sun is, where there's no tree cover. On West Main Street, and then that's when I started to warm up. And of course, by then I was getting into the run, and my blood was pumping, and I was moving, and I was warmed up from that, and then I was fine the whole rest of the way. But God, it's like it's that annoying temperature where you just like you're too cold when you start the run, and then you're too hot when you finish it.
No, I totally know what you're talking about, man.
It's exactly the same way here. We're almost to May. Can we move on into spring now?
This is
please?
What we get for getting really, really. Honestly, a pretty mild winter. Like winter was nothing, but winter was a whimper. Like it was really warm. Like February especially was really, really warm and whatnot. But it's you always pay. There's always some swing back. Like whenever you get like a month, especially in the wintertime, and it happens in the summer too. Like whenever you get a summer that's more mild and it's not as hot or humid, then you'll get like an October that's like fucking brutal. like, was it last year or the year before? October was like fucking, it was like August in October. Like, it was just brutally humid and hot, at least here. Anyway.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't last year, but it was the year before,
I think. Yeah.
Because I was complaining about it. It was the year that, you know, obviously Halloween 2018 came out, and I was wearing my costume. I remember on Halloween walking around and I was sweating my balls off. Like, it was like 80 degrees out that day.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. I'm almost to 20 miles though in the challenge. I did a short run today, but not much. I didn't do much today, but that felt really, really good. That was great. And I'm hoping to just kind of keep increasing my distance. My pace was actually, aside from the fact that my last mile was slow, because after 5 miles, like walking up the hill to my apartment was like murder. But I'm hoping if I start at the park and just kind of level it out and do a level run for the whole 5 miles, I can keep pace the whole time. But I pretty much did keep pace for the other 4 miles of the run. So, you know, it's pretty good, and I'm feeling pretty good about it. So I'm gung ho. And then I ate, you know, a bunch of lasagna today. So I've got like a cheese baby that I've got to give birth to yet. So I'm like, oh, I can't eat more lasagna until after I go for a run tomorrow morning. And then I'll eat more lasagna sometime tomorrow. Because, like, if I try to eat some now, then I would just have this giant cheese baby that I would probably give birth to somewhere on the running trail.
I wouldn't even be able to do that. See, my thing is with cardio, I always do my cardio fasted. I just, you know, some people prefer it fasted.
I'll do
some
mine people, tomorrow. Mine tomorrow will be fasted.
But I actually can't. Like, I'm not comfortable doing it unless I'm fasted. What I've been doing lately since I got my new bike, I realized over the weekend this is what I'm going to be doing, because I don't really want to be riding on the trails a lot because they're packed full of people. So that's a stupid idea. I don't want to be out with a lot of people. But across from our apartment complex, there's like a huge business area where there's all these huge business buildings, and there's lots of tall garages, like very tall parking garages that aren't being used because most of these buildings are empty or vacant, I should say.
Yeah.
So I just go ride those fucking things, like all those ramps, all, you know, all those inverted ramps. And I'm just like sprinting, basically, like, you know, riding really, really hard and really fast up to the top, and just doing, there's like three or four of the garages. A cop saw me doing one this morning. He was sitting right outside of one of them because apparently people do heroin in them. I saw like a spoon up there and a needle and some shit, so kids probably go up there and fuck around. But he didn't seem to mind. So that's been my cardio since I got the bike. It has been like too chilly really to ride that much, but it's something to do, and it's right across the street. So Saucy, what have you been doing to keep yourself active? Are you doing anything at all?
He just stares in a mirror, I feel like, and just channels all of his concentration into growing that magnificent
fucking
beard.
Are you burning calories by growing that beard?
He must be. Look at that.
It's probably possible.
That thing's eating a lot of calories. That thing is just coming in bold and beautiful. Wait till you see, ladies and gentlemen. So next week we're going live for, I feel like I didn't get ready in time for this week. But then also when I rolled the movies for the Canon Quarantine for next week, Masters of the Universe came up in it, and I was like, well, number one, there's no way it's not going to be the movie we're going to watch. There's literally nothing we could have put against it that would have won. And, you know, I'm like, that's the perfect movie to go live for hashtag Canon Quarantine. So wait, ladies and gentlemen, wait until you see Loy Sauce next week on the show. Because I mean you guys have seen the pictures in the dumpster. If you thought he was like sexually magnetic before, like, I'm pretty sure if I stand up, I'm going to knock my table over from the absolute throbbing thrust of my boner. So, you know, just, I mean, he is never shaved that. Never fucking
hashtag
shaved that.
You boner look, worthy.
In all seriousness, you look really fucking good with that beard. Like, you really, really do. Like, it really, it makes you look, well, it makes you look kind of like a hipster in one way. So, I mean, with Justin makes sense now. Like whenever you're seen with Justin, you won't look like his son. You'll just look like one of his hipster friends.
See, the wife actually looked at the shirtless picture of you that Nick posted in the dumpster, and she's like, "It makes him look older. Tell him to keep it."
See, and that's a female's opinion.
That's what people keep telling me. So, mm-hmm. Who knows? Like I said, I have no plans on shaving it.
You're not allowed to.
I'm not touching. I'm not touching my hair either. So we'll see how much of a hippie I look like.
Oh my god!
In several weeks.
Oh my god!
Time.
Voice loss with long hair. This is going to be nutty.
My God in heaven.
Anyway,
you're Superman, so and there's no such thing as a kryptonite razor, so you're just fucked, man. You're stuck with it forever.
So to answer your question, I just do some simple at-home exercises in the morning. I try to get a daily walk. So I'm not shredding it like you, Justin. I'm not buying expensive at-home gym equipment. But I'm keeping active, certainly.
Listen, I'm not buying expensive gym equipment. I'm buying bargain bin shit that is the bottom level that I can afford.
Well, whatever, the power tower, whatever you're getting.
It's a very simple device. It's a very simple thing. But like I said, you know, we don't know how long this is going to go for. And I want to be prepared. If it's another 6 months, I want to have everything I possibly can in order to maintain and do what I want to do, because it's one of the only things I have. I mean, even when life was normal, going to the gym was one of the only things I looked forward to, other than going to the movies and maybe going out to eat or seeing friends. So now that this is literally the only thing I have, I want to focus in on it even more, laser fucking sharp, and blow that shit out of the water. You know,
I'm proud of you. That's what, well, I mean, I feel like what, I should be doing.
Well, I'm saying, what else are you going to fucking do? It's like, it's right. Like I'm in prison right now. What are you going to do when you're in prison? There's two people. There's two kinds of people. The one dude is going to sit in the corner and eat as much as he fucking can because he's depressed and he's going to get fat and even worse than he was when he went in. Or the other dude on the other side is going to do like 100 push-ups every day until he can do 1,000 and he's going to come out looking jacked. There's two, you know, there's no middle ground there. So I'm just trying.
Hey, people read a lot in prison and study.
That's true. That's true. But from my experiences, which I am very experienced in this category, most of those people do get fat because they're just sitting there reading all the time.
Maybe Justin, they're doing one-armed push-ups while they hold the book in the other hand.
I've never witnessed this my entire life, but it is possible. But hey, I'm not going to say that I'm perfect. I never would try to act like I am. I sent you a picture Saturday, Saucy, and you commented on this photo as if I was overdoing it with my cheat. I went to a place called Moothru, which is the most amazing roadside country ice cream mom and pop parlor I've ever seen, because it's called Moothru.
And also, they just have really great ice cream.
And I got a very large, the largest soft serve vanilla cone, because I said, fuck it, I deserve this shit.
You gotta have a very large cone of ice cream, Justin.
It was the largest cone they fucking had. That's what I want, man. I'm a very simple guy. I'm just vanilla cone. Give that shit to me. That's it.
I have no reaction to that.
You have no reaction to my cheat being a vanilla cone? I don't know.
You are the blandest, whitest dude ever.
Listen. I know that if I had gotten like a sundae or something of some kind, I would have passed out
too
in the
much.
Car.
That's too much.
I was thinking simple, and you are right. I am the blandest motherfucker. I eat the same thing every day.
He's the most basic. Like once October comes around, once fall comes around, he's pumpkin spice bitch. He's the most basic bitch there possibly could be.
Dude, I still haven't gotten my Uggs yet, but I definitely think I need to in order to, you know, fully capture being a basic bitch.
I love bubbly.
We should start a Tumblr account for Justin. That would be the final step in achieving white girl status.
Oh my God.
What's that mean?
You know what I've been doing? I recently went through the entire Disney Star Wars special features of all the Disney Star Wars films. And it's interesting watching the progression of the films kind of through the behind the scenes material. It's you get this sense of like excitement from watching the Force Awakens special features, like, oh wow, I wonder where this trilogy is going to get, where they're going to take this trilogy. And then of course The Last Jedi features a documentary called The Director and the Jedi, which is one of the most frank, honest, moving and in-depth behind the scenes special features I've seen for practically any movie. And that is full of passion, and it's very, as I said, very frank and honest, because Rian Johnson, there are several times in the documentary where he's like, am I making the right choice? Is this the right choice? And then we get to The Rise of Skywalker, which, you know, maybe it's because it's propaganda made by Disney. But after watching it, I kind of understand where they were coming from with this. Do I think they succeeded after, of course, watching the film? Not entirely, because obviously it's still a huge mess and it's just not a well-told story. It's not well-paced. I still think making Rey a Palpatine is the dumbest decision they could have possibly made. But there are other decisions that they made that I feel were kind of poetic, especially when you're especially considering closing out an entire 9-film saga and trying to please fans. So and still watching the documentary gives you a sense of how much work and manpower went into this. And there's still those classic elements of Star Wars, the creatures, the puppets, that they still maintained in episode 9. It's a shame you can't really soak it in and enjoy those elements, because the film goes at 9,000 miles per hour. So it's like you don't have time to have anything to revel in.
Hit that nitrous right after the opening crawl and never let up off of it until the very end of the movie.
Yeah, you don't have time to revel in the amazing creatures and puppets and production design and sets and costumes and things like that, because you're too busy going, what's happening?
So did you revisit the film itself?
No, I just watched through all the special features. Okay. And Rogue One and Solo as well.
Because I've been meaning to. I, you know, a couple weeks back, I had gotten the OG trilogy on 4K, Ultra HD, Dolby Vision to watch on the OLED. Hashtag.
I feel like he's Nick sitting Hayes there 4K. Like he's got a fucking checklist of terms he has to drop when he talks about these fucking things. It's like he's got a list: 4K, okay, OLED, Dolby Vision. Okay, check. Okay, now I've got them all.
Everything I do it for you.
Jesus Christ.
But I've been meaning to.
Wish you were so fucking awkward, bud.
I want to revisit Rise of Skywalker, because for the simple fact, it's the only Star Wars movie ever that I've only seen once in theaters. Ever.
I will never, ever, ever revisit it. Ever. I have absolutely no interest in it.
Don't lie.
Because
don't lie. You might.
No, I won't.
You might.
I won't, because it's as Loisaw said, it's no matter how well intentioned it was just the story was just told extremely, extremely poorly. It's breakneck speed. It just needlessly, like, it could have very easily followed that through line from The Last Jedi of anyone in the galaxy is special. Anyone in the galaxy could be a Jedi. Like, literally, it could be anybody. Like, and, you know, this whole movie about trying to imbue hope amongst the hopeless and everything. And then the next movie starts with the dead speak. Emperor Palpatine's still around. Oh, Rey's a Palpatine. Like, it, like, Rian Johnson kind of, and that's why I respect it more. Like, in the same vein as the prequels, like, you can say whatever you want about the prequels, but a lot of people, especially lately, especially in light of, like, the sequel trilogy, have come back around to kind of, like, the prequels, like, nobody would argue that the prequels are these masterfully made movies, but the world building that they do for Star Wars, how much they open up the Star Wars universe from the limited scope of the original trilogy, is mind-blowing. Like, you think about all the planets, the systems, like, the races, like, everything that series introduced, the prequel series introduced, like, Coruscant, how big it made the Republic feel. Like, there's so many different elements that it introduced to it, and that's what I loved about what Johnson tried to do, because JJ did not try to do that in The Force Awakens. He tried to keep it very contained. Everything felt too similar to A New Hope for me. It's a well-made movie, I won't argue it's not, but it's too, it toes that line. It tries too much to be too much like the original trilogy. It's like a kid who loves Star Wars movies making a Star Wars movie.
And it's exactly,
I don't mean to feel, I don't mean
exactly
to say
what
that
it
like
is
almost as a bad thing, but to me it kind of almost is, because it's not doing anything innovative. So when you bring Rian Johnson along and he actually does try to change things and actually try to broaden things out and make it about more than just these characters, and say, here's all these different threads you can tug on, here's all these different threads you can take, and then JJ's immediately like, almost like that nostalgia kid who directed episode 7, who's like, I love Star Wars and I'm going to direct it from the point of view of a fan. When you bring that back and then he's like, no, I don't want it to be that. I want it to be a Palpatine and I want it to be like, it feels like such a fucking whiny, like Star Wars fanboy nerd movie. And that in that case, and like it's the most bafflingly stupid narrative choice that they possibly could have made. Not only to bring Palpy back, like bring him back in some capacity. I don't even mind that necessarily.
I thought it was just going to be like his Force essence.
His Force essence would have been fine. Like
having a physical Palpatine and saying like I created Snoke and seeing the gigantic test tubes of Snoke clones. Yeah,
just a giant pile of Snokes in a bottle. You know, like. And then to kind of bring it back around, and like that was the whole great thing about it. It's like one of the most amazing and wonderful thematic things that Johnson did in The Last Jedi was about Rey's parents being nobodies, but she's still special. Like she still is, you know, basically a Jedi, and you know, like she still has all this amazing untapped potential and power within her. And think about how well that translates universally out there to people in general. Like, yeah, maybe your parents aren't some rich or wealthy or powerful family or whatever, but that doesn't mean you're not still special. You know, like everybody's special. What matters is what we do with what we have. You know, like that's the entire point of that movie. What a great fucking message for that movie. And then for JJ to come along and retcon and to be like, no, it's because she's a Palpatine, bro. Like, fuck you. Like, legitimately, it's just such a stupid narrative choice. There was no reason to make it that, especially when you have literally one of the best young actors working today. You have Adam Driver, who for two films has absolutely throttled and destroyed it as Kylo Ren.
A lot of the Rey Kylo stuff really does work in Rise of Skywalker.
It really does. That's why it's the best parts, because he and Daisy Ridley are still the best part about the sequel trilogy. But you have Adam Driver, who's one of the best young actors working today. You've done two great films of building him up into being the supreme leader. Just let him be give it to him. Let him be the main bad guy in the fucking movie. You can still redeem him at the end of it. You can still bring him back. You don't need to have a Palpatine crutch in there and all this other dumb bullshit about Rey being a Palpatine and all that. You don't need any of it. It's meaningless. And then it's dumb. Like the way, like I get, okay, if you thought the Knights of Ren were cool, and you're mad that Rian Johnson didn't use them, like, fine, but don't bring them back, because then you bring them back and then they do nothing, and then they're just in the movie for no fucking reason, and it's pointless.
they're in the movie for a pretty cool sword fight.
They're in the movie because of most of the reasons that everything is in The Rise of Skywalker. None. Well, and also, There's no fucking reason.
And then the supporting characters get shafted. I mean, Finn does nothing in the entire movie. You feel like they were building up to something with his character. Even the seeds were sown in The Force Awakens of there being kind of like a stormtrooper mutiny or a resistance of within the stormtrooper ranks, because you learn that stormtroopers are enslaved from birth, essentially.
Yeah.
And then by the Rise of Skywalker, that narrative thread is completely lost, or that thematic thread is completely lost. Or not completely lost, because he's introduced to Janna, who also has the same experience as he does. And then by the end of the movie, they're still just like murdering stormtroopers indiscriminately. So you're like, all those people are enslaved, you know, from birth. It's kind of depressing.
Just there's so many more interesting things that I just think narratively it's really, really bankrupt. It's really like you could have like made this like the ultimate capper on the end of this thing. Like, and I even granted, I'm one of the people that would argue that Luke's arc in The Last Jedi perfectly leads into his, you know, reaction to Rey trying to throw the lightsaber away in Rise of Skywalker. Like, it perfectly makes sense, but I almost like that, like, tongue-in-cheek, like, ha, don't you throw that lightsaber, you bad, like, you know, making fun of what Johnson did a little bit in the I'm fine with that, because it makes sense for the arc that Luke had, because he had given up on himself and he had hidden himself away and become a fucking recluse. You know what, blame JJ Abrams for what happened in The Last Jedi, not Rian Johnson, because JJ's the one that had Luke Skywalker fucking go, he's missing and in hiding for no reason during The Force Awakens. although he left a map to find him, which still makes no fucking sense
See,
to me.
I love that idea. Boys, we could talk Star Wars all day, but we've discussed all of this at length a million fucking times.
Never.
And it's fine.
I don't remember ever talking Star
Wars.
We're
going to keep doing it, but I'm glad you watched through the special feature, Saucy. I plan to do the same here eventually.
They're very revealing.
I've been basically vetoed on all things Star Wars after I watched the OG trilogy a few weeks ago, so I have to give it some time, but I desperately want to watch Rogue One again, and I definitely want to revisit Rise of Skywalker. I didn't buy it for no reason. I bought it to watch it. So, and you know, eventually revisit the prequels as well. Hayden Christensen just celebrated his 39th birthday yesterday, and I posted a thing up to the Facebook page basically just asking people, you know, are you a fan of Christensen's, you know, portrayal of Anakin Skywalker? And it seems that over the last few years, more and more fans have started to come around or, you know, started to support him.
He's a fan favorite at conventions now.
Yeah, he got a bum fucking rap. A lot of people hated on him. His career didn't go so well after Star Wars. And it's nice to see some people, you know, have some kind words or understanding.
Yeah. It's heartening to see people talk, you know. I mean, when you have, and it's been said, you know, a million times, so we don't need to spend a ton of time on it. But when you have like world caliber actors like Liam Neeson, like a Ewan McGregor, like a Natalie Portman that are, you know, that sound terrible delivering George Lucas's dialogue. I mean, he's not a seasoned actor. Like, he's given great performances in other films that people have mentioned and everything. Like, he can be directed to a great performance, or he could have been if he had a more capable director. But George Lucas is not a capable director. For more intense, faster, but like he's a good ideas man. We've talked about that a million different times,
a gazillion billion.
And he can't
times.
Write dialogue for shit. So when you have that perfect storm of things, but like I said, I still think there's moments of brilliance. I still love him in that hangar in Clones after he kills the Tuskens. I think there's some great raw emotion there. I love that scene because it's like, I feel like it's kind of him transcending and like going through the material a little bit. That's why I don't hate the prequels, as cheesy and as dumb as they are. Listen, we're the show that's doing a whole entire fucking series on canon films now. Like, you can't watch canon films and love them for their badness and then watch films like the prequels and then hate them for the same reason. Like, that's disingenuous to me. Like, you either have to embrace it totally or you have to like not embrace it at all. Especially when you understand that Star Wars is meant to be a fucking soap opera. It's not meant to be like Empire. Well, I mean, say what you will about Empire, but Empire ruined Star Wars for that, because Empire became a much more serious, much more film as opposed to fun space opera trash like the original the original film was. I don't say trash in a bad way, but I mean that in that soap opera-y, like, it's meant to be light and fun, fair and bubbly and silly and whatever.
Like a 1940s Flash Gordon series.
Exactly. That's
old
what
school
it's meant
space
to be.
Adventure. Yep.
And Empire came along and completely changed that, and because Empire's so lauded, that's what people expect of Star Wars now, is for it to be this super serious thing. And it's like, but that's never what Star Wars was supposed to be. Star Wars was supposed to be more like the prequels and less like Empire, like in terms of its just over the top silliness.
I mean, the one thing that I would have loved to have seen or heard, I mean, God rest his soul, but Irvin Kershner, if you could ask him now about it and how he views the world of Star Wars now, I'd be very, very interested to hear what he has to say. You know, there's a lot that he never said about directing Empire. There's not as much information as we'd like to have it within, you know, modern standards of special features and commentaries and all this stuff. You know, he passed away, so you don't really know much. I mean, it is what it is, but yeah, Star Wars.
Damn it, boy sauce. Look at this rabbit hole you've taken us down with your goddamn beautiful facial hair.
I'm so sorry.
No,
bitches,
it's okay.
Can't get enough of my stuff.
This week in epic film history.
We say when he dismembered the boy, he sucked the blood out of the penis and the scrotum and put the balls in his mouth.
We will jump over to our good friends from Netflix and Swill and start with Caleb. What do you got guzzling down your gullet?
I'm smoking meth, dude.
Knowing where you live, that is not a shock.
Oh my
Jesus. The real question is, do you want to be in the middle or in the back? Do you want to be, do you want to have your face buried in someone else's ass and someone else's face buried in your ass? Or would you rather just have your face buried in someone's ass?
I'd rather be in the middle because, like, they could do me some favors back there, you know?
I mean, I'd rather be in the front because I'm not about...
No, that's not an option. That is not an option here because clearly everyone would rather be in the front. It's the middle one and the last one. Which one out of those two would you pick?
Then, yeah, the middle, because I'm a douche.
No, because...
I kind of think they're both as bad as each other. Like,
from it.
Yeah. No, it's right, one of those things, like, if I'm gonna deal with it, I want someone else to have to deal with it with me.
That makes sense.
It's a
spite.
I mean,
it adds up, man.
It's spite. 100%
spite. I mean, if you gotta go out a shitty way, you might as well go out fucking somebody else, too.
Shitty way.
Listen, all I'm saying is I want someone to tongue punch my fart box, but I'm not unwilling to return the favor. So I'll take the middle, man.
Tongue punch you right in the
balloon
knot.
Are we all going to ignore the fact that Nick tongue-kissed his mic a little bit ago?
No, he was, like, working
What were you doing to your mic? Were you sucking your mic?
I was just trying to accept
it. He was just thinking about it.
He was not going to admit it. Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Gross. There he goes.
Do it. Sexy. God.
That cannot be unseen.
He loves sucking that mic.
Oh, my God.
Did you just get bored and just, like, start licking your mic?
Caleb's deep throat.
I've seen him
right
do
now.
This in other live streams as well. So.
I've never noticed that before.
This is not, like, the first time. It will not be the last, just, I promise
and
you.
And you just started fucking making out with your mic.
Hot.
Sweet can.
Well, you know, when it's been a while.
I saw on Facebook, on John Carpenter's official page, there was one fan who's, like, posting in the comments, but look, I saw a photo of someone who had, like, the ticket, like, the screening ticket, and he was commenting that under John Carpenter's statement that there's been no screenings or anything. And he's like, but how can people have a ticket if there wasn't a screening? And it's like, do you know how easy it is to just, like, bullshit,
Photoshop,
like, make something and print it out? Like, you're
Photoshop.
Arguing with
hang tight for just a moment. I'm actually going to send you a winning lottery ticket for $500 million.
Oh my
and
god,
it's gonna
really
be
100%
legit, real, and I
oh
want
my
the
god.
First thing you do with that to be to book the Epic Film guys to play Earth, literally just planet Earth. Like, we're just going to be everywhere.
Done.
Like, literally,
it's happening.
Every auditorium of all time forever.
Oh my god.
God, people are fucking dumb.
God bless you, Nick. Thank you. I'm anxiously awaiting that check in the mail. Thank you so much.
My number four, and nobody's mentioned this, and I doubt anybody's going to mention it, it's motherfucking Baywatch.
What? I'm
going to go see it.
Two words. Alexandra Daddario. I don't fucking
damn
care.
Right.
She is
damn
fucking
right.
Like
my
gorgeous
heart.
Personified, dude.
I just wanted to mention something, a project, if you could call it that, that I was doing this past week.
Bitches can't get enough of my stuff.
I think it's even better with the God filter. I think you almost need the God filter on it.
It does add a certain sense of grandeur.
You know what I think it does? I think it adds, like, even more, like, quivering in the pants. I think that's what it does.
Hmm. A reverberation.
Loosens things up a little bit.
A vibration, if you will.
Exactly. I mean, just listen to the timbre in that voice, ladies and gentlemen.
Bitches can't get enough of my stuff.
I'm not saying to hold your headphones up to your crotch or anything, but, you know, I'm not saying not to do that either, so just saying. How do we get down the rabbit holes that we get down? Oh, God, that sounds weird with the God filter. Ooh.
Bazinga.
No more of that.
Oh, oops.
That sounded like it, like the closing line to an 80s sitcom episode. How do we get into the rabbit holes that we get into? Canned laughter, theme comes in, freeze frame, credits come up.
While we're all in the kitchen together, all about to slice a cake to eat it as a family.
That's right. We've watched too much Full House.
I have, 100%. Yes, this is true. Has anyone... I know, actually, I'm not going to ask you, Nick. I already know the answer to the question. Saucy, did you watch the trailer for the new Saved by the Bell reboot?
No, I did not even know that that was released.
Yes.
I will never watch it, but...
You won't watch it?
I don't care for Saved by the Bell.
Because you fucking pile suck. Of shit. Yeah, listen to him. No, it doesn't look that good.
No.
You know why? Because it's Saved by the Bell, because Saved by the Bell's not fucking good.
No, Saved by the Bell is fucking good. Anyone else that says otherwise is plain flat out wrong, and I will beat them up. I will hit them. No, no, yeah, whatever. It looks.
So they don't have the entire cast back, right?
Well, I'll tell you this much. Mark Paul Gosselaar's not in the trailer. He's apparently going to make appearances on the show. AC Slater is like the main character.
Oh,
he's like
that doesn't bode well.
The gym teacher at Bayside. They've got a new cranky principal, and the only original cast back is Elizabeth Berkley and Mario Lopez that we can see so far. They did not ask back Lark Voorhees to be Lisa. They definitely didn't ask back our, you know, resident couch potato, Dustin
Diamond. My favorite thing is that he looked over at his couch because he just knew I was going to make some comment about him sleeping on his couch, because yeah, I'm sure that Dustin Diamond just randomly crashes on people's couches.
He 100% does. You know, whenever he's not attacking people with knives.
Like,
yeah.
Almost immediately. Like, the second he walks into somebody's house, they're almost always like, I think it's time for you to leave now.
But I'm like, dude, it makes no sense. Like, you know, I'm a fan of 90210. When they did that reboot, they had everybody involved minus Luke Perry because he passed away and he was going to do the show. And it made sense. The show was actually pretty decent for what they were trying to do. It didn't, you know, go over well in the ratings, and they ended up canceling it. But this just seems like they're trying extremely hard to try to, but it's not even banking on nostalgia though. I mean, all the lines in the trailer are banking on nostalgia, but it doesn't look or feel like Saved by the Bell, other than the fact that in one scene you see the kids sitting at the Max, which just seems so fucking weird to see modern kids sitting in that kind of like, early 90s, late 80s era diner scene. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Not everything needs to be rebooted. And if you're going to reboot something, do it right. Like,
yeah, bring back fucking Screech. They should have brought back Screech and had him be the principal like he was in the New Year's or whatever the fuck it was. It was years after all the original cast went on to do new things, and fucking Dustin Diamond is still doing, it was Saved by the Bell, the new class. That's what it was. God damn it. Yeah,
because there was the college years, right?
The college years, but yes, which I enjoyed, which by looking at Nick's face, I could tell he did watch and enjoy it as well. He's just trying to pretend like he didn't watch it.
I have the blankest expression on my face right now. I wish we were live so people could see what
you're trying not to smile.
See, Saved by the Bell is so fucking terrible. I mean, it's Mario Lopez, Elizabeth Berkley. These are like, I mean, literally, if you dredged the pond scum away from the bottom barrel of fucking acting, they'd still be below it. Like, Dustin fucking Diamond, like, none of these people, like, we're going to talk about Avenging Force, which has some of the most hilariously bad acting I've ever seen in a film. It's all masterclass levels of shit compared to things that I've seen from like showgirls like Elizabeth Berkley. Are you fucking kidding me?
Like, oh, she's great in that flick.
Jesus fucking Christ. Like, holy shit.
Everyone makes such a big deal about her, and they're all fucking crazy. You're all on something.
It's extremely corny at its most mild, and it's horribly offensive at its worst. The episode where I think it's Zach Morris who discovers that he has Native American like lineage, and he puts on this horribly racist like report in front of the class where he makes Screech dress up in like an Indian headdress. It's aged
Boy
very,
sauce.
Very,
Boy
very
sauce.
Poorly.
It was the early 90s. Listen here, Mr. Social Justice Warrior motherfucker. Who gives a fuck?
I just remember watching it as a child, and even then I realized that this was a show
that
was not...
You watched it as a child like 3 years ago. So yeah, I can see why you'd be offended.
Then he grew a beard, and now he's grown out of it. He's like, I don't need these things that I once enjoyed.
Listen, you want to talk about offensive stuff? We'll be talking about offensive shit when we talk about Avenging Force. God damn.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderfully refreshing to have villains who are so unapologetically racist and evil.
I do miss seeing villains that are evil.
Absolutely no nuance to these characters whatsoever. They're just racist and evil.
I mean, that's this, like a large percentage opens, of...
I mean, we'll get into it when we get into the main episode, but I seriously thought they were like a LARP crew at first. I was like, are we watching like guys that are doing like LARPing? Like it didn't... Because it just drops you into this thing out of context. It makes no fucking sense
what
you're watching.
That's what I said to you, Loisos. When I came on, I was like, dude, I love how the movie opens and it's just a bunch of fucking white guys beating the shit out of each other in a swamp.
It's a teaser for what's to come.
Ooh. Yeah, it's gonna be an interesting discussion. Hashtag canon quarantine next week, ladies and gentlemen. Masters of the Universe. I can already feel Justin's boner throbbing thinking about it right now.
Nick, have you seen Masters of the Universe?
I have not. No, I've never seen it.
Oh my god.
So.
Holy shit, dude.
I mean, I might have like when I was a kid or something, but I don't remember it if I have. So,
when we showed it at Alamo Drafthouse for its 30th anniversary several years ago, I cried in the theater watching it.
So did I. I cried watching it as well. I had fucking goosebumps. I stood up and clapped after it ended. I fucking love that movie. Unapologetically, I love it for all of its cheese. I love it for what it was supposed to be and what it wasn't. And I love it for what it is. It's fucking great, and fuck everyone else that says otherwise. You hear me? Fuck you if you don't like it. You should like it. I can't wait to talk about it. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Well, I'm going to.
I pushed the wrong one. I meant to push.
Now you're going to die.
That's the one I was aiming for. But
oh yeah,
no,
that's
like,
better.
I fat fingered the soundboard, and it's not even fingers. It's a mouse clicker.
Why did you go eat a decrepit piece of crap?
Yeah, I deserve that. I deserve that, Napoleon. So yeah, so that's next week in hashtag canon quarantine. It rolls on, ladies and gentlemen. I just, every time I do these polls, it's just like you end up with one of these canon films that's just like way more recognized than the others. Although it's always funny for me because I have no idea about like 95% of these movies. So it's really funny for me to pull up the movie posters to put the poll up over in the Hoaxer's dumpster. Because every time I'm like, oh my God, this person's in this, or oh my God, it's this, or whatever. Like I'm legitimately floored half of the time. But then again, I know I have so many huge, huge blind spots in my movie watching history, but that's why we're doing hashtag canon quarantine, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we want to do this series, because it's number one, it's a fun film education for me, and it's just fun to talk about these movies.
And Nick, now you can say that you've watched Avenging Force.
Yeah, now I can. Jesus Christ. Oh, there's so much to get into with this movie. There really, really is. There's so much to get into. But Justin, before the pre-roll gets much longer, you know, and I love our pre-roll discussions. They're amazing. I love just chilling and hanging out and just doing a thing. But I mean, I ought to get like the WWE cheering or something like that. But for now, we got to get to the wrestling talk of the week, because this will be another fucking half an hour before we wrap up wrestling talk for the show.
Yeah, so this week's match that I have for you is between two of my favorites of the 90s, and I'm going to put one of these guys in a lot of these because he's my favorite. But this week, Razor Ramon versus Bret the Hitman Hart.
Ooh, man. I'm only going Razor Ramon. I'm not thinking.
Don't
Scott
think
Hall.
Scott Hall.
Yeah,
nope,
I'm not
just
thinking
Razor
Scott
Ramon.
Hall. I'm just going Razor Ramon style. So if I'm just going Razor Ramon versus Bret the Hitman Hart, I've got to go Bret the Hitman Hart, just because better technical wrestler. Like, I loved watching Bret Hart's matches. I was never the biggest fan of Hart, like, as a character. Really, like. I mean, sometimes I was, sometimes I wasn't. I guess it depended on the storyline that they were putting him in, whether they were pushing him as a heel or a face. like, because he had some good heel runs, and then, you know, sometimes, like, it just kind of depended on what they were doing with him. But man, he always showed up in the ring. Like, he was always fucking, like,
every
his
single
talent
match,
second
dude.
To none in the fucking
every
ring.
Every single match.
Like, one of my favorite matches of all time is the Iron Man match that he had with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 12, I think. That iconic one, like one of the most iconic moments in wrestling history, where Shawn Michaels rides the zip line down to the fucking ring.
That's right.
Like, man, that was such a great fucking match, because, I mean, they literally gave everything for 60 straight fucking minutes.
Yeah. And what's crazy about that match is so many people leading up to that were unsure if you could actually have a match that long and it still be entertaining. And when you hear Brett or Shawn talk about it, or people that were there for the match, in retrospect, they're like, it was amazing. It was the best thing I've ever seen, because they were doing such a great job. And I think the fact that they were such great performers and they were so diverse compared to one another, that it just, every match they ever had, minus the screw job match, was amazing. Like, yeah. They just played really well off each other so well, you know, high spots were Shawn's thing and technical wrestling was Brett's, and they just literally married together the perfect matches. And that's a great match.
And like Razor, it's not that I don't like Razor Ramon, and I love Scott Hall. You know, I think he was better in WCW just as Scott Hall than he was as Razor Ramon in WWF. I just appreciated him more, because
he's a bad guy.
I like that attitude that he had, even though, like, that's just kind of his attitude anyway. Like, they didn't change anything really.
Well, it was him,
drastically.
And it was also him, like, actually getting drunk for real backstage and coming out to the fucking ring when he was in WCW.
Well, the funny thing is, too, is that, like, when he first showed up in WCW, like, he was still doing the Razor Ramon shtick. So WWE tried to fucking sue him for copyright infringement for him, because he was still using basically the same character gimmicks and everything. But I always,
because he was saying the bad guy, he was still saying the bad guy, he still had the toothpick and everything.
Yeah, but I loved that. Like, I just loved his persona in I think it's not that he was never, like, he had some great, like what was that? It was a ladder match he had with Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels.
Was
yeah,
one
that was
of
a
my
great
favorite
match.
Matches. Great, great match. Like, he had some great matches and he had some good stuff in WWF, but he never really, he wasn't there long enough to really have the kind of impact that
he
could have had.
And what people seem to forget is that both Scott Hall and Kevin Nash were in WCW in the early 90s. Then they jumped over to WWF, both became huge stars based on their characters, then went back to WCW and were even bigger fucking stars at the place that they were at that no one cared about them.
I think that's everybody's story, though. Like, everybody jumps
it's
from
most
promotion
of
to promotion
Austin,
all the
yeah,
fucking
I know,
time.
A
I
lot
mean,
of
think
them.
Of, yeah, think of Stone Cold. Yeah, like, yeah, you know, they just had no idea what to do with him. And then, you know, when he showed up over in WWF and then, you know, gave birth to the Stone Cold character, it's like, well.
Oh, well. We got to save Stone Cold for that's like a whole episode. I swear to God, a whole Patreon.
That would be
Stone Cold is,
that would be a whole episode. Yeah,
it literally would be. It's a lot to talk about with him. But I think the thing about Razor Ramon that I like is that the character, I like the actual character of Razor Ramon, and I love the Razor's Edge. I think it's a great move.
Yeah,
great finisher. But yeah. So that there's that. So to recap what we've had so far as wrestling matches, Nick has picked. At first was Warrior versus Hogan, which he picked the Ultimate Warrior. Second was Macho Man versus the Warrior. He picked Macho Man. Third was Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, and he picked Shawn Michaels. And this week, Bret the Hitman Hart versus Razor Ramon, and he picked Bret Hart.
I'm really trying to think of a scenario in which Hulk Hogan would ever win against somebody else. I know you'll think of other scenarios where you'll pitch him to me versus somebody, and maybe I really am struggling.
Well, I could figure a couple out. I'm sure that I could say right now and you'll probably go, yeah, I could maybe see that. But we'll see.
It helps too if you delineate, because when you delineate, when you think Hulk Hogan versus Hollywood Hogan, I mean, Hulk Hogan was, I mean, I'm a kid of the 80s. Like, I was born in 1980, but even still, like, I didn't watch a ton of wrestling in the 80s. Like, I didn't really start getting into wrestling until like the early 90s and whatnot.
Me too, dude.
So, you know, like that, but I mean, you know, Hogan's heyday was like the early 80s, the mid 80s and whatnot. Like, that's when Hogan was absolutely by far the biggest. So, like, for me, if you delineate it between Hulk Hogan and Hollywood Hogan, that becomes a different conversation. That becomes even a much though, different conversation.
Even though as a performer, he was basically still the same thing, but oh, yeah, I won't even lie.
Hogan has literally like three moves. Like literally, yep. The only thing he didn't do as Hollywood was be the Hulk up thing. That was like the only thing he didn't do as... But that's because he just like would take off his weight belt and like the NWO would run out and beat the shit out of whoever he was fighting.
God damn.
That's one of those things in WCW where it just got really... It got old after a while. Like, I mean, they dragged it out a little bit too long. Dude.
Every single week,
Hogan would fight somebody, and inevitably, every single NWO member would come out and beat the shit out of whoever he was fighting. And then the WCW locker room, like, sometimes like it worked out really, really well, but like other times it was just like, oh, we fucking get it. They're gonna interfere, disqualification. They beat Hogan. Oh, they get a win against Hogan because it's a disqualification, but he still has the NWO title. You know.
No, I know. No, but, you know, whatever. We'll get into Hogan another time. I feel like he's going to be a topic of discussion when we talk about wrestling.
Too much other stuff to go on. That's a deep rabbit hole to get into.
100%. But if I had to pick, I'll say it right now. If I had to pick between Hollywood Hogan and Hulk Hogan, as much as I'm a lover of all things nostalgic for the 80s, you can't beat Hollywood Hogan. He's just too sweet.
We just did the NWO thing, and this is why we need to live stream stuff again next week, ladies and gentlemen. Next week for Masters of the Universe, we will be going live over on twitch.tv/epicfilmguys. So make sure you are following us over there, so that way you'll be notified. We'll be posting all over Twitter and the dumpster and everything, notifying you whenever we're ready to go live. Loy Sauce, what do you say?
Now you go and die.
All right. Wow. Guys, he's like a week away from this audition, I feel like when he first went to the audition for D'Artagnan, they were like, okay, let's let this thing grow in, and you know, let's really, really, I'm even thinking, Justin, we could even get him as like a villain in a Musketeers movie.
I think it's entirely possible.
If we get like a really fancy, like one of those fancy French coats and stuff that's like black embossed with gold and
I think
trim,
I would need to be able to twirl my mustache.
You need to be able to twirl a little bit, so that's the only thing you gotta work on, is just getting the ends of that mustache so you can start twirling it up.
Right.
My beard's already coming in too thick. Like I talked about this before, but now that I've lost all this weight and everything, like I don't think I look good with a beard anymore. I like a rough stubble patch, I think I look good with, but once it starts to come in more full, I feel like it makes my face look fatter. Like, whereas before, I used to grow a beard intentionally to try to make my face look slimmer, you know, because it would just be like, oh, it's just all my hair, bushy, like giant beard thing. So I just don't like it anymore. So now I've never been that person that's like, I need to shave more often, but I need to shave more often because I'm just not a fan of it. Plus, I'm trying to impress all the ladies during this quarantine, you know, all the hot ladies that are walking by my sliding glass doors, I guess. I don't know. Let's not with the questions. It's okay. I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, we love you. Once again, pre-roll is going to remain free as long as quarantine continues and as long as hashtag canon quarantine is a thing. So what do you say, gentlemen? We say goodbye to the pre-roll, and then we're gonna head over into the main show.
Goodbye, pre-roll. I love
goodbye.
You
goodbye.
I love you so much. I love you so much, Loy Sauce.
The feeling is mutual.
Meow.
I just want you to get me drunk right now. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by the Epic Film Guys patrons, our amazing producers and executive producers who pay us to do the show that we love to do. So a huge, huge shout out to Alan Gallerisi, Brandon Frederick, Caleb Brownlee,
Dan Brennick, John DeQuilla, Julio Oliveira,
Deborah Kinney, Chip Moore, Chris Maltesos,
Rob Trevino, Ken Maney, Brady Cloven,
Justin Winters, Scott LaVar, The Running Man, The Flash, Paul Prezula, and Gerald Morris. And a very special thank you to our top-level patrons, our executive producers on the show.
Chris Yaney, Robert Moreno, our resident kaiju expert,
Bill Sutton, and Destruction in Human Form, Jared Taylor. Thank you all so, so much, and we'll see you
at the movies.